The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Andrea, for those of you who I've not met before. And I thought I'd start again this evening with just seeing if there's any practice questions. So beginning there, if there's any, just maybe for 10 minutes or so, we can just take some questions if you have any questions about your practice. Yeah. I'll repeat. That's okay. How often do I recommend meditating?
Like in a given week.
Well, you know, it really depends on the person, but I would say in general I'd recommend meditating every day. But the length of time that one meditates may vary. And at the beginning of a practice, it can often be helpful to begin with something that you know that you can commit to. If you decide, okay, I'm going to sit for half an hour every day, and that's just like beyond what you can possibly commit to, you'll find that you just stop. So finding something that you can make an agreement with yourself, yeah, I'm going to sit for 10 minutes or however long it is that you know will work in your schedule. And the other thing I often suggest is that people find a time that works for them in the day. For some people, that's first thing in the morning, before the mind has started getting going about the things to do in the day, that you can just sit first thing and settle the mind, and that settling allows a kind of a springboard or a place from which the rest of the day can unfold with some calm or some settledness. Other people find that it's easier to meditate at the end of the day, after the day is done and you're relaxing in the evening. Other people might find it's helpful or maybe the best time would be in a lunch break or something. So sometimes people also asking that question, they say, and what's the best time to meditate? And I always say, whenever you'll do it. So whenever works for you, finding a time of day and a length of time that feels like it's doable for you. So yeah, I really, for myself, I found that the daily meditation, even in just little bits, even in just 10-minute intervals for people, it has a cumulative effect. And, it's kind of like, if you meditate once or twice a week, I'm not going to say that's not helpful, because any amount of meditation, I think, will support us. But it's kind of like taking the water off the stove, and that if you do it with a little more regularity, it's like leaving the water on the stove, so it has a chance the benefits that you gain have a chance to accumulate. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I do have one other, Andrea. Okay. I do have one other question, okay, which maybe we could get to later in the hour. It has nothing to do with the sort of scheduling or timing of meditation. I came across a word recently in a description of Buddhism called Mara, M-A-R-A.
Uh-huh.
And I don't quite, there's like four Maras. And so I'm just reading a wonderful book by a lady who's from Nova Scotia and a Buddhist monk, or nun, I guess, is her sister. But anyway, she talked about how the Buddha was being attacked by the four Maras. And as they threw their swords and arrows at the Buddha as he was achieving enlightenment, the swords and arrows transformed into flowers. So it's apparently a very traditional tale of the Buddha.
Yeah, yes. So Mara is what we might call the personification of the forces that want to keep us from being awake. And in the Theravadin tradition, I believe the woman you're talking about is in the Tibetan tradition. In the Theravadin tradition, there are 10 armies of Mara, and I can't remember all of them, but there are things like fear and confusion and conceit and pride and, you know, things, and lust, greed, yes, of course. Aversion is probably in there. So it's kind of, we can think of it, although the traditional Buddhist the tradition, the Theravadin tradition, thinks of Mara as an actual being, a being who is out there, kind of almost like sometimes called the devil of Buddhism. You know, a being who is trying to keep us from waking up. But we can also think of Mara, and in fact, there is some one Burmese teacher I talked to said, when I asked him about Mara, he said, well, there's 5 kinds of Mara. There's a Mara that is a psychological Mara, and then there's the actual being of Mara, and he had 3 others too. I couldn't remember what, I can't remember now what they were. I'd have to go back and look at my notes. But so in that discussion, he indicated that we can also think of the forces in our own minds that, you know, the forces of fear, the forces of aversion, the forces of greed, as being a form of Mara. You know, those kind of habitual, conditioned forces in our mind as a form of Mara. The turning into flowers, the arrows from the armies of Mara turning into flowers, there's actually a beautiful film. I think it's called Little Buddha. Is that what it's called? Does anybody remember the... it's got Keanu Reeves in it playing the Buddha. Little Buddha, okay. And there's a scene in which they depict the Buddha sitting under the tree, the Bodhi tree, and Mara coming by and trying to get the Buddha to not be awakened, sending all kinds of, you know, sending lustful thoughts and fear and all kinds of things. And the image is shown of the arrows being shot, and then, you know, so there's the rain of arrows coming, and then the Buddha just sits there, and they just turn into these flowers kind of floating around him. And when I saw that image in the film, it was so great, because it's like, that's exactly what it feels like in meditation, when there are these, you know, forces of the mind coming at us, trying to knock us off or confuse us or get us to hook into their fears and their desires and their aversions. And when we're just sitting with it open, it's like, whew, they just transform themselves. And so that image for me was really quite appropriate and quite resonant with the way it actually feels in the meditation. So, it's an image that has been described as, you know, what actually happened, but I take it more as an allegory in a way. Yeah, and it is so resonant. I mean, the allegory is so resonant from my own experience in terms of the, you know, the things that feel like they're going to attack us just floating down, these petals floating down and not being a problem. Yeah. So